the college basketball season has come down to one final winner-take-all game. And unless you are a bit of a bracketology genius, your NCAA bracket was long gone before Kentucky and Connecticut won their way to the title game. How unlikely is this year's championship pairing? On ESPN's Bracket Challenge, 1,780 brackets picked these two to be in the finals. So just to put it into context, that is out of more than 11 million entrants, and that is 0.0002%, just for the record. But while Kentucky and Connecticut are mathematical long shots, how unexpected is this year's final? Who better to ask than Slate.com's Mike Pesca? Good morning, sir.
Hello.
Hello. So, an 8 seed playing a 7 seed for the national title. This is kind of exceptional, no?
Oh, yeah. You add those up. That's the highest number that's ever been in the championship. Another way to put it is, since 1985, when Villanova, as an 8 seed, became the lowest seed ever to win the championship, there have been two teams seeded 7 or lower ever to play in the championship game. And this year, we're getting two teams 7 or lower in the same year playing in the championship game. And it's kind
that's crazy.
That's one of those hinky stats where I do have to clarify that a 7, UConn's a 7, has never played in the championship game. So it's really, really unusual, unless you've been paying attention to exactly who these teams are and exactly what NCAA basketball is like, because even though UConn to start the tournament was rated a less than 1% chance to win the championship by sites like 538, which does this great statistical analysis, and Kentucky at a 2% chance, there are great teams with great traditions who are playing great this time of year.
I mean, UConn upsetting Florida, that's crazy. Is this going to be remembered as the year of the Cinderella?
I think they all have been. See, okay, so one of the unusual things is, even though it's a 7 and an 8, and these are the lowest seeded teams, both these teams have huge national fan bases, which is one reason that ESPN bracket site, that stat that you cited, is probably a little higher than it normally would be for a 7 and 8, because there are just thousands of people who are putting Kentucky in their final no matter what. That's how much they love Kentucky. And UConn's a pretty popular team, too. But yeah, I mean, one way to look at it is, going into the tournament, Connecticut was 100-1 shot, and Kentucky was a 40-1 shot. But you know what? In the beginning of the season, Kentucky was the number one rated team. So they're a Cinderella because during the year, they got worse and worse and worse. And it wasn't their lowest point that they were going into the tournament. But if you had like a timeline graph of how likely they were to win, they started the year as the most likely. Somewhere in the middle of the season, they were extremely unlikely. And now they're extremely likely to win it. So this just goes to show a couple things. But one of the things is Kentucky, which is full of freshmen. You know, something like 20% of those kids' games, the 6 games, have been in the tournament, 15%. I mean, you just get better. Young kids just get better.
Lower the expectations to exceed them.
That's one way that Calipari could do it. I will also say this, that John Calipari, who is known for recruiting the best class of freshmen, you know, people think, oh, it's not fair. I think it's totally fair. I'm playing by the rules. But how will he ever, in the future, when he does this and gets like 5 of the best high school seniors to come play for him, how will he ever convince them to try hard during the regular season, right?
Yeah,
they'll
right?
just be like, oh, in 2014, those kids just turned it on in March. Poor John Calipari.
Okay, you got a curveball?
I do. And my curveball is kind of about a fastball, but the slowest of the fastballs. So Mark Burley is a pitcher on the Toronto Blue Jays. Other than his teammate, R.A. Dickey, who's a knuckleballer, which is like kind of a magician of pitchers and his ball dances, Mark Burley has the slowest average fastball in the major leagues. And earlier this week, in his first start of the season, he struck out 11 Tampa Bay Rays, which is only the second time he ever had more than 10 strikeouts.
Wow.
But Mark Burley does this with location and kind of fooling the umpires into getting every borderline call because he's so accurate. And people don't know this. He is third among active pitchers. He has 187 wins, and he is one of the slowest pitchers in baseball.
Slow, but good. Like you, Mike Pesca of Slate.com. No, you're
fast. That's
the
good part, yeah.
You can hear him every week on their Hang Up and Listen podcast. Thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome.